Right. Good evening, everyone. All right, we are down to the third installment of our series called Rise and Fall. Okay, Rise and Fall. We have been looking into this series for 3 weeks now. All right, and this series, I believe, has been a blessing to all of us. What we have here is that we're looking at the different characters in the Bible. And here's what we're looking at. Different characters, different stories. But all of them basically have stories that we could glean into, okay, stories that talks about their rise to power and their fall, okay, from power, all right? Our goal basically for this series is to have a picture and the desire to be a leader worth following. And this series will basically have its pinnacle, okay, to prepare us for the May 9 elections. Let me ask this for a while. How many are voting this coming May 9? You're voting this man. Come on, just probably wave your hand. You are a voter. Okay, very good. Uso pa rin ba yung mga flying voter ngayon? Hindi na po yata, no? All right, so if you cannot vote, maybe you are a student or you are a foreigner or you are an irresponsible citizen of this nation. Just please pray for, you know, instead of, you know what, lambasting candidates on Facebook, okay, just start praying for our nation. Pray for all the candidates. Pray for our leaders. Amen? Okay, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's what John Maxwell said. And that is basically, this is the premise of this series. What does it mean? It's as simple as this one. You talk about a corporation. You talk about an enterprise. You talk about a business. You talk about an organization. You talk about a fraternity. Whatever that is. If things are being good, if things are doing good, you point to the leader. If things are falling apart, you still point to the leader. At the end of the day, everything falls on the leader's shoulder. Okay, the weight basically falls on the leader. At home, you know, it is an accepted fact that whatever argument, okay, that may ensue between a husband and a wife, the sad reality is it's always the husband's fault. Okay, why? Because the husband is the leader of the home. Okay, wives, they just respond. Okay, ayan. Pinaglalaban ko na kayo, ayaw pa mag-amen. Okay, everything rises and falls on leadership. And this is what Patrick, you know, talked about last week. You look at the life of a guy by the name of King Saul. Okay, when we were here last week, okay, we've looked at the story of this man. Tingnan mo na yung posing na yan, di ba? Di ba? Marunong mag-posing si King Saul. Ano tawag sa posing na ganyan? Ang tawag po sa posing na ganyan, blagir. Blagir pose, okay? So, yung mga older people, hindi po nila alam yan. And, you know what? If you look at the story of this man, he is basically, he was a promising leader. He had God's anointing. Look at the person beside you for a while. Parang ganyan. God's anointing. Right? Meron ba? May anointing ba? Pwede. He had God's anointing. He was influential. The problem was, there were things in his life that were left unchecked. So meaning to say, because he didn't basically subjected himself to correction and stuff like that, he basically fell from power. One of the sad experiences or events in his life was when he started building a monument for himself. I mean, that is a crazy thing. Can you just imagine, you're not someone wanting for their legacy to be sealed by building a monument for themselves. You don't do that. Okay, the next generation, people who look up to you, will build a monument for you. You don't do that for yourself. Okay, but because he wants to seal the deal for his own life, out of insecurity, he built a monument for himself. The next guy that we're looking at here tonight is quite interesting because I think other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he is one of the most popular, or rather, he is the most popular king in the Old Testament. Okay, a lot of you know how he came into power. Okay, basically, I'm talking about a man named King David. Okay, we're talking about the life of King David, and just like King Saul, King David, here's what happened to them. There were things that they did, okay, and there were things that they didn't do that caused them to rise and fall from power. Okay, I want us to understand something. There are mistakes that they did that we don't have to do. Because the truth is, some people would say experience is the best teacher. The truth is, if you read your Bible, you don't have to experience all the pain, all the hurt for you to learn. You can actually skip those aspects of your life if you glean on God's word. All right? Now, having said this, this is quite interesting because if you remember, Patrick shared some interesting facts about, you know, the current generation. All right? Now, look at this. Let me just say something for a while. Who among you here were born, okay, between 1980 up until 1993? 1980 till 1993. Just raise your hand for a while. 1980 till 1993. Okay. Meaning to say you are 36 years old down to 23 years old to 36 years old. You guys are the millennials. Okay, we're talking about the millennials. And after the millennials is basically the next generation, the younger ones. Who am I here? You were born from 1994 up until yesterday. Okay, may pinanganak pa kahapon. 1994 till present. Wave your hand. Come on, the next generation. There they are. Okay, there they are. Come on, wave your hand for a while. Okay, hindi ko na po imi-mention yung naiwan, yung 1980 pababa ng 1932. Okay? Gusto niyo ba i-mention ko pa? Huwag na. Baka mainis pa kayo sa akin. Okay, but anyway, there is a recent study. Okay, there's a recent study about the millennials and the next generation. Look at this one. People would say in the Philippines, we are now having, congratulations to all of us, we are now having a generation of dreamers. Okay, a generation of dreamers. Now, why in the world is this important? Guess what? This is a fact studied by TV5 and all other organizations. Why is this important? I want you to understand this. If you understand Philippine history, if you understand Philippine culture, you will be the first to understand that there are so many Filipinos who have given up hope. That's why there are a lot of Filipinos who are bumming around. Now, there is a shift that is happening in this present generation. Now, people are starting to dream big for themselves and for their family. And as we start talking about the life of King David, his rise and fall from power, I want us to understand this. We need to have the next generation in mind. As I start talking here tonight, I am not just talking to a younger audience, but I'm also talking to the older people. Okay, because at the end of the day, there are things that we impart to the next generation. Here's another interesting thing. Together with us being the generation of dreamers is this one. Okay, studies said that 6 out of 10 Filipinos aspire for leadership positions compared to 4 out of 10 in more developed markets. So meaning to say, the younger people right now, mukhang nakakainis lang sila, pero nag-aspire sila ng leadership position. Okay? Kaya, that's why when we disciple the next generation, kahit mukhang totoo yan, leader yan. You folks, catch this. Okay, kahit na parang hindi mo maintindihan kung anong pinopost sa Facebook, hindi mo maintindihan yung ginagawa sa classroom, kung pumapasok pa sa school nila, leader pa rin yan. Meron yung aspiration to be a leader. Okay? Not just that, 22% okay, of the current generation want to be entrepreneurs compared to what? 11% in more developed markets. What is my point here? We have a group of people. We have a generation rising up that is full of potential. Who may believe that? We have a generation of Filipinos who are full of potentials. The point basically of us talking about the life of King David is this one. We don't want all of those potentials to go down the drain. That is why we're looking at the life of David, looking at the life of Saul, looking at everyone, every character that we can find here in the Rise and Fall series. Are folks ready for this one? Let's look at the rise of David in power. Okay, the rise of David in power. This is quite fascinating. You know, if I have here a picture of David in a battle. Number one, I want us to understand that David is a mighty warrior. Okay, let's try to look at this in a political context. Okay, what are some of the great accomplishments of David? Number one is this one. David was able to unite the Jewish tribes. Do you have friends who love quarreling with each other? I don't know, hindi sila nagkakaintindihan. They backbite each other, naghihilaan sila ng buhok. They just love quarreling with each other. You know, the situation for David was something like that, but whenever he comes in, He gets to unite everyone. That is basically telling of the leadership capacity of this person. Not just that. Look at this one. One of his great accomplishments was that, this is quite fascinating, he was able to extend Israel's border. When he was in power, he was able to expand Israel's border. Nakakatakot na maging king ng China si King David. Okay, sa generation natin ngayon. Okay, baka pati tawi-tawi makuha niya. He was able to extend Israel's border. Not just that, he was the one who made Jerusalem the capital city. But, at the end of the day, he is known for something other than all of these things. And everybody knows what he did. David was the one who killed the Philistine giant called Goliath. From being a delivery boy of cheese bread to his brother, from being a shepherd, from being a nobody, with some pebbles in his sling, he was able to slay a giant. Guess what? After that event, for some reason, now people's eyes are on him. He was an accomplished man, just like the person seated right next to you. Tell the person beside you for a while, I am an accomplished man. Hindi ba mayabang yan? All right, here's the tension. Okay? Now, the next, you know, coming minutes, I might talk about some sad news, okay? But I hope and pray that we receive this with an open heart. Are you guys ready for this one? Now look at this. David was successful in conquering his external Goliaths, but he was overpowered by his inner Goliath. That is where he was defeated. I want to show you the progression of this story. Okay, look at this one. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It says here, in the spring of the year. In the spring of the year, what month is a spring? Anyone here? Patrick, what month is a spring in Iran? Anyone? March, April, and May. Okay, anyone here who's from the States? Anyone? In Korea, do you have spring? You have four seasons, right? What months are the spring? March, April, May. February, March, April, okay? In our place, in USA, it's February, March, April. In the Philippines, we don't have spring. It's just hot, hotter, and hottest. So that's it. Look at this one. It says here, in the spring of the year, I don't know, we might be looking at February, March, or April. It is very clear, the time when kings go out to battle. Now look at that one. It gives us a picture that wars and battles were what? Were scheduled. Wars and battles were what? Were predictable. Ibig sabihin, pag spring na, uy, tapos na yung winter, spring na, gera na. It's something like that. Whenever David would have a staff meeting with all of his staff, tatanungin yung sekretary niya, anong schedule ko next week? Ah, sir, gera po. Okay, noted. It is predictable, all right? Wars were predictable for that matter, okay? To a certain degree, it was actually scheduled. Why am I emphasizing that? Because I want you to understand that in the next coming verses, you would come to understand the downward spiral of the leadership of David. Simply because I want you to know it was not a spur of the moment. Sometimes kasi when we make a mistake, we make an excuse by saying, it was just an accident or it was just a spur of the moment. No, it gives us a picture that for David right here, he had a good time to contemplate about things. Because these things are scheduled. Take note the word that says here, look at this one, it says here that the word is what? Kings. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go to battle. Now look at this one. It gives us a picture that during springtime, it is wartime for kings. During springtime, it is basically wartime for kings. Let me just segue a little bit and try to explain something that would help us understand this. I want you to understand this. There are specific things in your life Okay, there are things cut out for you specifically. Okay, for David, look at this one. As a leader, there are things that are specifically cut out for us. For David, one of those many things that were cut out for him is to lead his people to battle. If I was catching this so far, okay? When I say things cut out for you, I'm saying that there are things that you are doing right now, and that is basically the mission that God has for you. Now, how in the world is this relevant to us as a nation? Let's say you are a doctor, you are a businessman, you are an architect, you are a student, you are a nurse. Whatever it is, okay, that God is asking you to do right now, how in the world is that important in nation building? Since we're talking about leadership, I want you to understand this. The seemingly small piece or portion that you have is actually instrumental for God to accomplish his overall agenda in this nation. The seemingly small piece that you have, okay, a piece of the puzzle, is actually instrumental if we are desiring for nation building. My point is very simple. I want you to understand this. It's as simple as this one. At the end of the day, it will not take one Christian president to change this nation. It takes an army of what? Christian citizens doing their part to change this nation. Let me try to explain this further by showing you this pillar right here. Look at this one. This is a pillar, and you know, a pillar is basically used to what? A pillar is used to what? To support a certain structure. Every single one of us, as Christian citizens in this nation, we are like a pillar that supports the government. So at the end of the day, if there is something wrong with the government, there is something wrong with you. It gives us a picture, folks. I need you to catch this. It gives us a picture that because we are like pillars, it gives us a picture that we ought to what? To push the government up and not tear it down. Having said that, it gives you and me a picture that as a Christian, I have no business to speak curses in the government. Because my role is to push it up. If there's something wrong, meaning say there's something wrong with the way I am lifting it up. Are folks with me? Let me try to be a little more specific. You want me to be more specific? Let me give you some illustration, okay? And I don't know if this is good or bad, but anyway, we're here. So let's say, for example, if you as a Christian loves to talk against our incumbent president, if you love telling people that our incumbent president is panot or abnoy, I want you to understand that you are actually dishonoring the name of God. Because at the end of the day, that is not your role. To give you examples in God's word, in the scriptures, look at this one. If you remember, one of the most prolific leaders in the Bible is a guy by the name of Joseph. Joseph served the nation of Egypt because he served the Pharaoh. If you look at the life of Joseph, you study your Bible, you look at it page by page, talking about the life of Joseph, you would come to understand that as a citizen, I mean as a godly person in a different country, he gave it his best. He gave things excellently to support the Pharaoh. Yeah. Another clear example here, if you know the guy by the name of Daniel, he was subject into a Babylonian king called King Nebuchadnezzar. If you read the pages of your Bible that talks about the life of Daniel, you would come to understand that Daniel basically what? Served King Nebuchadnezzar. And there was not one instance when he cursed King Nebuchadnezzar. To explain it further, if you remember, King Saul was so insecure with an upcoming king by the name of King David. And King Saul was basically looking for David, wanting to kill David. But David had an opportunity to slaughter Saul. But in the middle of that, he had a thought. His thought was, how dare me touch the Lord's anointed? Are folks with me? At the end of the day, our role is to lift up. Our role is to speak blessing. Our role is to do our part. Be the best teacher out there. Be the best nurse out there. Go pay your taxes. These are the roles that God basically has given us. Going back to the life of David, I want to show you the progression of his fall. Look at this one. David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. God designated him at springtime to go to war because he was the king. Instead of going to war because he was the king, what did he do? He got Joab and told Joab, "Joab, parang may fever ako, Joab. Ikaw na lang punta sa war." He actually delegated his calling to another person. He delegated his calling to another person. Look at this one. Let me just try to illustrate this for a while. John, can you please join me for a while? Okay, now look at this one. Let's say I am David and he is Judas. Joab. Okay? I'm David and he is Joab. Okay? Here's the scenario. At springtime, God basically has given me the task as a king to go out there and wage war. Now, look at this one. Joab is anointed. David was anointed. You guys are all anointed. Now, look at this one. Every single one of us, just like what I told you a while ago, we have specific things cut out for us. Whatever that is, God has given you the anointing to accomplish that. Catch it? Now, look. God has given me the anointing to do my mission, which is to go out there on springtime and lead my people in a battle. For John right here, God has given him the anointing maybe to be a support to me. But guess what? Because I delegated this to John, what he was like doing was that he's doing my mission with a second man's anointing. Are you folks catching this? At the end of the day, here's my question. John, thank you so much. That was supposed to be mine, I gave it to him. The anointing to accomplish that belongs to me and not to him. Here's my question. What do you think happened when Joab went to war? What do you think happened when Joab went to war? Here's what happened. Look at this one. It says here, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. Here's what happened. It says here, they ravaged, talking about Joab, they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbath. So, ibig sabihin, Joab was successful in accomplishing what I was supposed to accomplish. Now, this is a little tricky. Now, I want you to understand this. Will there be a difference with the result if I instead went to war? Will there be a result? Will there be a difference in the result? The answer is no. If I went there, if Job was a help to me, I led the war, this is still going to be the result. Because I feel so lazy, I have some agenda in mind, I told John, I have fever, why don't you go to war? Guess what? That is still the result. What is the point here? Whether you step up in leadership or not, God will still accomplish his purposes. At the end of the day, it's not about us. It's not about God waiting for us. Please, Archie, pumunta ka na, Archie. No, whether I like it or not, God will accomplish his purposes for this nation. Whether you rise up in leadership or not, if you don't want to rise up in leadership, then God will use something else. Come on. If you remember, the Bible even tells us that, you know, even if you don't want to worship God, God has the power to make the rocks worship him. So at the end of the day, I am not entitled. I cannot come before God and tell God, God, kailangan mo ako, Lord. Hindi po yun. That's not the response. God is waiting from us. Having said that, it's as simple as this one. If God then gives me a task, I look at it, guess what? Now I understand it is a privilege and an opportunity to honor him. If God puts me in a leadership position, I don't tell God, Lord, grabe, deserve ko kasi to, God. Deserve ko to. Hindi po. It's just God's grace in my life. If I start out my leadership with an understanding that this is just by God's grace, then I will be dependent on His grace for the rest of my life. Then there will be no entitlement for that matter. So what is the issue of God here? The issue is as simple as this one. Unfulfilled purpose and unutilized anointing. Ang problema lang ito. David could have gone to war. He didn't go to war. Joab went to war. Joab was successful. Ang problema lang ganito. Here's our problem. There was an unfulfilled purpose and unutilized anointing. Meaning to say, sayang, it could have been an opportunity to grow. Pambihira, out of the millions of people in the world, God is giving you a task. Don't you think it is a privilege? Now, look at this one. Because Joab right here doesn't have the anointing. Guess what? Between David and Joab, who will accomplish the war faster or easier? The one with the anointing. Tama po ba? Kasi ako ang anointed na gawin to. Si Joab, wala siyang ganong anointing, pero ginawa niya pa rin. So, ibig sabihin, nahirapan siya ng konti because nahirapan siya, lalo siyang nag-grow. If you wanna grow as a leader, go out there and do hard things. Go make sacrifices. It's not about our convenience. It's not about our comfort. It's about us doing great and mighty exploits for God. Let me just now, you know, shift gear a little bit. The next few minutes that we will be talking here might make us feel a little uncomfortable. But I want to assure you, as we start talking about this, this is coming from the purest of intention, with the knowledge and an understanding that all of us have our blind side. Okay, that we have things or issues in our life that if left unchecked, we will fall. And that is basically what happened to David. What was the summary of David's downfall? He remained in Jerusalem. That was the problem. Instead of being in the battlefield, he remained in Jerusalem. Yun ang mahirap. Instead of doing what God has called you to do, there you are being a couch potato. Well, I'm not saying that God hates vacation. I'm not saying that you beat yourself up in working. Guess what? It's just that it is springtime. Springtime is war time. Kung June, vacation time. Punta ng Boracay, walang problema. But this time of the year is designated for war. Because this is designated for war, you should be out there and not in your home. But the problem with David was that he remained in Jerusalem. Now, if you remain in your own Jerusalem, there are so many mistakes that you will do. One of those things that you probably will do is what David did. Okay, look at this one. Here's what happened to him. It happened one late afternoon. I don't know, 4:30, 3:30, 4:30, 2 p.m. One late afternoon when David arose from his couch. Buong araw siya nanood ng National Geographic. Ewan ko. He arose from his couch and was walking on the roof. Weird. Medyo may pagka-weird din itong mga king na to. Pwede naman sa garden. Ha? Pwede naman sa fish pond. Ha? Sa tabi ng fish pond. Pero trip niya wala tayong magagawa. Kaya trip ni King David to. Yan. Kaya huwag kayong magsasabu. Okay? He was walking on the roof of the king's house, his house. Here's what happened to him. Look at this one. That he saw from the roof a woman bathing. Kaya pala nasa roof ka. Labo. He knows about this. He knows where to stroll. Kaya pala nasa roof. It says here, he was on the roof, and he saw a woman bathing, and the woman, the Bible says, was what? Very beautiful. Woman, you're seated right next to a very, 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 very lang. Shadow kay excited. You're seated right next to very, very, very anyone. Very beautiful. Now look at this. Let me try to translate this in our generation right now. I think we have to be clear with this one. We don't live in a convent. Anyone here lives in a convent? We don't live in a convent, meaning to say you open your Facebook, you go in the mall, you see so many things. But here's what I want us to understand. Folks, iba po ang tingin sa titig. In English, looking is different from staring. Hindi ko alam kung ma-flatter ako, may insulto. He was looking at a woman. Look at this. You know, we will see so many things. Men, we will see so many things. But the question here is not whether you see something or not. The question here is, how long does it take you to yield to something else, your eyes to something else, whenever you see something that your eyes should not be feasting? I want you to understand this. Sin will fascinate you, after which it will assassinate you. If you're here and you are a guy, let me give you a practical step on how to deal with something like this. It's just called bounce your eyes. Whenever you see something, just bounce your head somewhere else. May nakita, oops, ganun lang yun. Hindi bala lang isipin ng mga tanong, para kang loko-loko. Pag-ganun ka ng pag-ganun. Okay lang yun. If you keep looking at something that you shouldn't be looking, then you might end up doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's basically what happened to David. What does the Bible teach us about how to deal with temptation? It's very simple. The Bible tells us to what? The Bible tells us to flee from temptation. Flee is what? It is a verb. It is an action word that tells us to what? To run away from it. There is a compromising situation. There is a compromising person that is flirting on you. What do? Run away from that person. People might say, napaka-weird naman ang taong to. Napaka-unpopular ng decision mo. Who cares as long as you are honoring God? At the end of the day, I'd rather live for the applause of God than the applause of men. Who cares if your conviction is, if I'm going to wear something, it's just, you know, a collarbone conviction. Great for you. People mock you for that. Sad for them. Flee from temptation. Are you folks catching this? That's basically how we deal with things like this one. When you say flee, you run away from it. You guys watch UFC? Hey guys, the guys here watch UFC? Okay, what may you do martial arts? You do martial arts. Marunong ka mag-aikido. Diba? Marunong ka mag, ano pa ba? Taekwondo. Marunong ka mag-karate. Jiu-jitsu, diba? Alam nyo ba yung sayonachi? Alam nyo yung sayonachi? Pag meron kang nakitang temptation, ang gagawin mo lang, sayonachi. Okay? I'm not saying that you have to break the bone of the person. All you have to do is look at that person squarely and fiercely in the eye as if you're so angry. Then lift your foot up, get your slippers, sabi mo, sayo na chinelas ko. Tapos takbo ka na. Ngayon niya lang narinig yun? Grade 2 pa ako nun. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, you run from anything that stimulates youthful lust, if instead pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. If you remember, you know, Patrick shared about the 1993 McDonald's coffee lawsuit. Okay, it was a crazy lawsuit that happened in 1993 wherein the judge and the jury awarded, I think, an 82-year-old something woman of, I think, more than $2 million because she accidentally poured hot coffee on her lap and then she sued McDonald's. And the court ordered McDonald's to pay her that amount. After that incident, it was crazy. People start putting this on their coffee. Caution, hot beverages are hot. Dumb. Unintelligent. It's duh. But you know what? Sometimes, we need those kinds of warnings. We know that it's hot. We keep playing with it. I want you to understand this. Who am I? You love receiving corrections from people. I mean, correct me, please. Correct me. Mamamatay ako pag walang correction. Please. Listen, if you've never been corrected, I tell you what, it's a sad story. You know, sometimes people who correct us are annoying. I mean, parang, nandito ka na naman. Correction na naman. Wala mang encouragement. Sometimes it is annoying, but guess what? Friends, guess what? You realize that you need it. Because sometimes we're just so stubborn. Mahirap sa atin, kinorek na tayo, na-offend pa tayo. Next time I correct someone, offend, hindi ko na kinokorek. Wala sa correction. Akala ko makokorek kita, hindi pala. Di, wag na lang. Wala tayo sa level na pwede kitang i-correct. You need people to speak into your life and tell you about your unchecked blind sides. Bro, parang hindi na magandang pag-chat-chat mo. Bro, yung Facebook mo, ha? Kung makaposing ka, daig mo pa si ganito. Sometimes we get ticked off, but people comment about what you're wearing. Leave me alone. Oh, fine, sige. We need people to check us. The problem with David was that no one can basically correct him because he was the king. He basically had the authority and power. I want to show you. Look at this one. I want to show you a statistics. Can everybody say sad?
Sad.
Listen, this perhaps is the saddest statistics that I've ever encountered in my life. That I've ever encountered in my life. And this is not a joke. This is for real. This is a fact. This has been studied. Look at this one. A recent study concluded, look at this. Filipino women are taps in most minutes per visit to a pornographic website. Oops. In what sense? Ano ibig sabihin na top ang Filipino women? Patingin nga anong sabi. Look at the report. It says here. Let me highlight this. Look at this one. It says here. Filipino women, not everyone, average 14 minutes and 20 seconds for bare visit in a porno with 11 type. Number one in the world. Guess what? Who's second? Second is just the United States with 11 minutes and 51 seconds. We are not number one in infrastructure, not number one in economy, but number one in pornographic site. One of you thinks that this is sad. What good is a great economy? What good is a great infrastructure? What good is a great program? If we are losing the moral fabric of our generation right now. Filipino women pa lang yan, ha? Ayoko na po pakita yung mga Filipino men. Baka umiyak tayong lahat. This is a truthful study. When I saw this, I kid you not, I discussed this with my wife. And all the more, I felt like I'm having the burning passion to keep preaching about this. I don't care. I will get into the lives of people and tell them, are you living a pure and holy life? Are you living a pure and holy life? I don't care if people get annoyed with me. As long as at the end of the day, I did my part. I will be accountable to God for that. When I saw the statistics, I tell you what, for the first time in my life, I thank God for the slow internet connection in the Philippines. Manaklamo ako sa 3G, walang internet sa bahay, naiinis ako. Lahat ng urang customer service representative sa Globe Telecom, kilala na yung pangalan ko. Ito na naman yung nagre-reklamo sa internet connection. But after looking at this, now I'll shut up. Because I'm thinking, what if we have an internet speed that's that of Tokyo or Hong Kong 14 minutes, might be 1 hour and 40 minutes, it might be 2 hours, 3 hours. I was like thinking, that explains, Lord. If we will not solve this, God, don't give us fast internet connection. So if your friends are making a reclama but there's no internet connection, tell them because someone's praying for that. We are raising a generation with a weak moral fiber. Ang mahirap pa dito, kalabitin mo lang, kausapin mo lang, offended agad. Meaning to say, we're raising a group of entitled people. Not the case for this church. If you consider yourself a member of this local church, expect people to encourage you. Expect people to speak into your life. Expect people to correct you and rebuke you. Guess what? That is for your own good. I'm going to show you the first picture that I saw a while ago. Look at this one. It says here, 6 out of 10 aspire for leadership positions. How in the world will that materialize if we are neck deep in pornographic filth? Sayang yung potential. 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. Can you imagine the calling that God has placed for this nation? Filipinos are everywhere. Our very name, Philippines, coming from Philip the Evangelist. God has given us a great call to evangelize the nations of the world. How in the world is that going to happen if you don't live a pure and holy life? If we don't deal with the purity and holiness of the next generation and even in our current generation, we have 2 scenarios. It gives us a picture that this dream will go down the drain. Another thing is this one. We can still accomplish that in our own strength and in our own might, but we will be just like any other leaders out there. It's just going to be a cycle for that matter. How do we resolve this? Job chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman, not to look lustfully at a young man, for that matter. It's very simple, friends. Here's a solution for some of us. It tells us, make a covenant with your eyes. Look at yourself in the mirror, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself and tell your eyes, from now on, this is what we're going to do, eyes. Whenever we see something, this is what we're going to do. Do not make a decision when you are already in the situation, because you're not going to make a good decision for the matter. Resolve not to defile yourself as early as now. Look at what happened to David. Instead of fleeing, he kept pursuing. Sad story. Verse 3 and 4, David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Here's what David did. So David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him and he lay with her. Cut it short. David had sex with Bathsheba. Bathsheba wasn't his wife. Minsan sinasabi natin, ay, hindi mo kasi naiintindihan, bro. RG, hindi mo naiintindihan. Kasi hormones to. Tanong ko lang, si Jesus ba hindi Lord ng hormones natin? Ang dami nating excuses. Ano si Jesus, Savior lang? Hindi ba siya Lord? You know, at the end of the day, young hearts here tonight, you would come to understand, this is just a battle of lordship. If Jesus is Lord over your life, it's easier to make a decision. Archie, okay lang. Puppy love lang to. Puppy love lang. Fine, up to you. Paano pag lumaki ang puppy na yan, naging Rottweiler, sinakmal ka. But of course, as expected, the woman conceived and she sent and told David. The next niya si David, sabi niya kay David, David, I'm preggy. Alam mo yung smiley na malaki yung mata? Ma, ma, aksidente ma. Paano naging aksidente yun? Ano pangalan mo, Virgin Mary? To my knowledge, sex is not accidental. Sex is premeditated. I'm not condemning some of us here. That is not our goal. It's just that if you don't talk about this, then who's going to tell you all of these things? Will you hear this from your friends? I don't think so. Will you hear this in ABS-CBN? I don't think so. We have the opportunity to respond to God's word. And this is an opportunity that we have here. You know what the sad thing that happened to David was that akala niya, look at this one. If you're sinning, you think it's just you. Guess what? It has a repercussion to your family. It has a repercussion to the next generation. It has repercussion to the people around you. What happened to David? Child with Bathsheba died. One son raped one daughter. One son went against him and his brother. Sad story. Sad story. Because of the disobedience of the father. I want to show you one more picture, then we're going to end. I took this picture in a department store. It's a picture of a perfume. The other one is a brand new one, still packed. And the other one is a tester. Mommy, you love using testers in the department store. You know, especially the ladies, let me give you some practical tips, okay? Let's say you have a prom or you're going to attend an evening party. You know, you don't have cosmetics at home, you don't have good brushes. All you have to do, you go to Robinson's. Okay? Look for the ladies there. Tell them, patry nga nung pang-curler mo. So, pa-curl ka. Ma'am, patingin nung lipstick. Tapos, pa-makeup ka na. Okay, sige ma'am, balikan ko ha. Withdraw lang ako. Punta ka na sa party. Just kidding. Baka mamaya gawin niyo yan, ha? Basta wag niyo sabihin ako nagsabi. Baka ano, kita-kita tayo dun. Look, I have this picture of a tester right here. You know, the tester is far, you know, it's a lot different from a brand new one. I want to ask you something. If you go to a department store, ate, pabili ng tester. Gusto ko tester talaga. Gusto ko yung bawas na tester. Please, please. Ah, ma'am, hindi kami nagbibenta ng tester. Ma'am, please, gusto ko tester. Yan ang pinag-prayan ko, yung specific na tester na yan. You don't buy a tester. You buy for something that is wrapped cleanly, wrapped neat. I want to make you understand, ladies in this room, do not allow yourself to be a tester. Do not say yes to anyone who just wants to test you. You want to look for someone who would respect your dignity as a woman, that one of these days you're going to stand before God on the altar with a man of your dreams, pure and holy before the sight of God, just like a brand new perfume. Altar muna, bago kama. We go to the altar first before we go to the bed. Amen.